It's September 2014. eBay's directors file into a boardroom. They are tasked with the most critical decision in the company's history. For the past year, a war had raged within the company. Do eBay and PayPal separate, or do they stay together? Investors, led by PayPal's co-founder, demanded a split. eBay CEO John Donahoe, on the other hand, fought to keep the two united. After what felt like an eternity, the board emerged with their verdict. The two companies would split. For investors and PayPal, a huge victory. But for eBay, it was troubling news. Overnight, over $2 billion in revenue disappeared. And from there, eBay's profits fell each quarter by 44%, then by 48%, and then by 51%. eBay was left alone, and over time, it was overtaken by companies like Amazon. eBay, for many, is seen as an old, dying brand, but the truth is far more interesting. In reality, eBay has figured out how to thrive in the shadows. Revenue has been slowly climbing, and its stock prices have recently soared. This is the untold story of eBay's comeback. Up until this point, eBay had been following the conglomerate path. First, they acquired Skype. Then, Donahoe ramped things up with acquisition after acquisition. Shopping.com, StubHub, Shuttle, and dozens more. But the most important one of all, PayPal. When PayPal left, eBay lost half its revenue overnight. If they wanted to survive, they had to change something. To make matters worse, the day after PayPal split from eBay, John Donahoe took this opportunity to resign as CEO, not before taking a golden parachute of $23 million. eBay had now lost its best asset, half its revenue, and its CEO. What were they going to do? The empty throne was quickly filled by a man named Devin Wenige, the president of eBay's global marketplace. eBay has a few ways of making money, but the biggest by far are their listing fees and transaction fees. If you list an item, eBay will charge a small amount and a small proportion of the final sale price. But without PayPal, they were making much less from every purchase. They knew that increasing the existing fees would deter sellers. Instead, they had to increase the volume of sales. In Devin's mind, eBay needed a massive change. Companies like Amazon were growing rapidly, moving from peer-to-peer websites to big retailers with wide distribution. eBay wanted to copy Amazon's success, but there was an even bigger problem that snubbed eBay's hopes of growing their website or revenue. Structured data is important since it's what search engines like Google read. But eBay's was messy, it was input by individuals, it was cluttered and poorly recorded on eBay's end. Auction pages didn't interact with Google well at all, so the only traffic eBay could really attract was within eBay. In early 2015, as eBay and PayPal moved into the final stages of their separation, eBay is overhauling its data with what they called the Structured Data Initiative. Sellers were now required to add all kinds of extra information to all new items: manufacturer part numbers, universal product code, and the global trade item numbers, which allowed eBay to group and categorize listings to improve search and extend their reach with SEO. After the PayPal split, senior leadership realized that this was the top priority. CEO Devin announced to the public that by understanding our inventory, we better understand what products to show our consumers to enable everyone to find their version of perfect. Things seemed to be going well. eBay had found their solution, at least for now, and they made sure to let sellers know. eBay consistently proclaimed it was entering the modern era while maintaining its original premise as a marketplace for unique items. But something was wrong. There's a problem hiding in this optimistic message. Although Devin and the team were optimistic, things wouldn't work out the way they had hoped. In fact, things were about to get much worse than expected. In May 2016, eBay rolled out eBay 5.0. It was a total overhaul. It pushed discoverability and showed you related items, and it started to pay off. It was improving search and the user experience, but there were still lots to do. So eBay began their next step of their plan, and this was much more drastic. They initiated the Product-Based Shopping Experience, or PBSE, to overhaul the website. Seller requirements increased again. Now every single item sold needed something called a product identifier. These would group listings together under the same item. So if you were searching for a replacement microwave part, instead of getting a cluttered list of random results, PBSE would group all the listings for the exact part. new, used, or in different conditions under one main page. Their search page now had many checkboxes for these identifiers. This seemed good, but there was something strange going on. In their internal playbook, eBay stated that the ultimate goal was for every listing to be associated with a product in the eBay catalog. They also began to refer to product pages as a buy box. All of these clues pointed to one thing. This is exactly what Amazon was doing. But there was a problem. New users loved these changes, but eBay's existing users didn't, because it defeated the entire original purpose of eBay. Devin and eBay realized the disaster a bit too late. You see, this eBay overhaul was doomed from the start. eBay was a chaotic, sprawling marketplace, millions of unique items from millions of individual sellers. It was flexible and had anything you could imagine. They tried to force this second-hand person-to-person chaos into a rigid structure like Amazon's. This problem was made even worse by eBay's inherently unorganized data. More and more categories were added to the catalog, but it just made things more confusing and brought worse results. Categories began favoring irrelevant listings that were simply well-optimized. Product pages became inaccurate, with important info missing altogether. Shoppers and sellers alike started to get frustrated. The PBSE had unintentionally revealed the inherent weakness in eBay's catalog data, and the reaction of those who were most prone to recognize it was undeniable. Naturally, this also failed to optimize SEO. In October of 2018, in a sobering meeting with investors, Devin desperately tried to explain why their solution wasn't working. He insisted, "It'll come along," but investors weren't convinced. They began to sell. eBay stock was at a high point of $44 in February, but they were now plummeting down to $28. Leadership finally acknowledged that things weren't working. eBay wasn't Amazon, no matter how much Devin wanted it to be. 3 months later, eBay abandoned the entire thing. Messages were sent out to sellers saying that this product-based shopping initiative was over. eBay was back to where they started. Actually, they were worse than where they started. Not only did they still have to figure out how to structure their millions of listings, but they had now annoyed millions of longtime users and shareholders. And it gets worse. Facebook had recently entered the peer-to-peer industry with Facebook Marketplace, with superior features for sellers to target their local communities. eBay was running out of time. 2017 and 2018 were riddled with mistakes, but there were some diamonds in the rough. While leadership was overhauling eBay, another department had unintentionally created eBay salvation. The first solution came from a strange place: handbags. Buying a luxury item secondhand on a platform like eBay is pretty risky. What if it's a scam? What if it's fake? So they introduced Authenticate. Users could see which sellers were risk-free. It even had a 200% money-back guarantee. eBay rolled this out to luxury handbags first, and they quickly noticed it was a huge success. Soon, in 2018, they expanded it to other fashion items, watches and jewelry, then collector's items, baseball cards, rare Pokemon and Magic cards, which can sell for tens of thousands. But Authenticate was just the beginning. They also implemented the money-back guarantee, refunding buyers if the item arrives damaged, did not match the listing, or doesn't arrive at all. Then they had their managed payments experiment, a replacement for PayPal which centralized everything within eBay. Payments were streamlined for sellers, and cash was deposited right into their bank account. And buyers could now use Apple Pay, Google Pay, credit cards, whatever they wanted. But most importantly, it returned the revenue eBay had lost from the PayPal split. They were introducing some phenomenal features, yet simultaneously also self-sabotaging with their overhaul. Users now trusted eBay security. The problem was that searching and selling on eBay was inconsistent and poorly optimized. They were chasing the success of Amazon, when in reality, they needed to lean into what made eBay so special. It was time to move on from the identity crisis and embrace eBay for what it had always been. June 25th, 2019. Scott Hamilton, eBay's Vice President of Engineering, prepares to lead a seminar. The audience of developers and staff shuffle to their seats. There is murmuring, both nervous and critical. eBay's lack of morale is palpable. Then Hamilton takes the stage. He changes to a slide that leaves the entire conference hall stunned. "We were wrong, very wrong," it reads. Below, Hamilton elaborates, "Building a catalog is not required to get all the right aspects." His seminar had one focus: empowering sellers. Inside, every eBay seller is a superhero, and it's our job to get this strength into the open. It was a sobering yet vital moment of honesty. Leaders at eBay realized they had something that Amazon didn't. If you needed a spare part for your microwave or refrigerator, you went to eBay. If you wanted an old video game that was no longer sold, you went to eBay. If you wanted Jordans that were sold out everywhere, you went to eBay. eBay's philosophy did a 180. It was no longer going to try and copy Amazon. It was going to lean into the chaos. But there was still another problem. Facebook Marketplace was growing fast. It had something eBay didn't. Local selling. It was far better for local communities and for trading with others nearby. But it went both ways. It was fairly insecure and had a significant amount of risk involved. Being scammed is a much higher possibility, since Facebook users can make an account then buy something quickly, while still posing as a legitimate account. This was much harder to do on eBay. You can see a seller's rating percentage, be it positive or negative, and see how long the seller's account was around. Despite this, Facebook was carving away at eBay's market share. There was a battle for the peer-to-peer industry. eBay needed to prove that they were the better choice. So, what did they do? First, they needed to refocus their business. They needed more capital and less bloat. They began by selling off the acquisitions. In November 2019, they sold StubHub for just over $4 billion. Then, their classified group for $9.2 billion in July 2020. By this point, eBay had a new CEO, Jamie Iannon. With him came a bold focus on their new strategy, which was remarkably simple. Empower sellers and accommodate enthusiasts. eBay was for peer-to-peer, but more importantly, there was a special segment of peer-to-peer that no one else could capture. They improved their storefront, not to be more like Amazon, but to accommodate sellers. They overhauled their messaging system, they rolled out managed payments internationally, and listing videos was added for sellers, and the amount of photos was increased. Speaking of listings, they also introduced something called Lightning Gauge. Sellers could add as much detail as they liked, but the best part was it showed sellers how many people are searching for those categories. eBay was focusing on what they called listing richness. PBSE tried to organize all kinds of listings into one unified product, but now they were encouraging every listing to be unique. And their next actions would be even more intriguing. In March of 2022, during the eBay Open event, Stephanie Jay, one of eBay's key leaders, begins a presentation. Investors watch, still skeptical of eBay's strategy. The title, The eBay Multiplier Effect. Stephanie reveals their plan. Out of their 147 million buyers, about 28 million are high-value buyers or enthusiasts, who she calls eBay's best and most valuable group. eBay had realized the Pareto Principle. The idea that a small group of people have a massive influence. In customer service, 20% of customers have 80% of the complaints. 20% of employees produce 80% of results. And in business, 20% of customers produce 80% of revenue. This is exactly the same for eBay. Stephanie elaborates and reveals that despite being a relatively small group, enthusiasts account for 71% of eBay's gross merchandise volume, 9 times more than the average buyer. On average, they spend $3,000 every year. These buyers were eBay's ticket to success. They realized this was a niche they could dominate better than anyone else, so they began introducing some interesting features. eBay launched the PSA Vault, and it's exactly what it sounds like, a 31,000 square foot high security storage facility, but its contents are a little bit different. If you buy a highly valuable basketball card or a Pokemon card, the seller sends it to the PSA Vault. Then eBay tells you how to view, manage, or sell your card. This was the most secure way to sell these hyper-rare, hyper-valuable collectibles, which, as a reminder, are worth an unbelievable amount of money. But there's more. They introduced a new program called eBay International Shipping, adding more options to shipping and import charges, but also taking on fulfilling all returns themselves. eBay also expanded Authenticate, now called Authenticity Guarantee, adding even more categories and streamlining the experience for sellers. Not only that, if you buy one of these items, before you even receive it, experts at eBay examine the item to ensure it's authentic. This is how they beat Facebook Marketplace and cornered the peer-to-peer industry. Not only is eBay better for dedicated repeat sellers, but they've gone out of their way to support the enthusiast high-volume spenders who bring all the money. The risk with eBay has gone down dramatically, especially for valuable items like trading cards or fashion items. Products you probably wouldn't buy on Facebook Marketplace and you wouldn't find on Amazon. their revenue and gross merchandise volume has been growing steadily, but something interesting has happened very recently. On January 8, 2025, eBay stock price skyrocketed by about 10% to $69, the highest it's been in a while. Why the sudden jump? Well, Meta has offered an alliance with eBay. Users on Marketplace will be able to browse listings from eBay. This will give eBay access to over 1 billion monthly visitors, but all the transactions will take place on eBay's platform, meaning they take the revenue. eBay has been unexpectedly thriving, despite only having 3.5% market share of retail e-commerce. Their revenue is growing, their stock is rising, and with this new partnership, who knows what will happen? They accomplished this not by copying others, but by leaning into what makes eBay so special. This is how eBay has secretly thrived. If you would like to see more questions logically answered, comment that down below. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.